Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Gospel today, we are taught much concerning the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is, of course, the chief tenet of the Christian faith. It's what it means to be a Christian. For the forgiveness of sins is nothing other than justification, which is Christ on the cross. And where there is justification, there you see God's grace. And where there is God's grace, there is life and salvation. Unfortunately, many so-called Christian churches today do not put much stock in the forgiveness of sins. Surely they do give lip service to it, but they do not order themselves in such a way that confesses that this is their chief concern. And in many cases, where it shows that they're not actually concerned about it at all. Instead, they are far more concerned with whatever thing identifies them. Most seemingly, it seems to be mercy work. By making the number one priority of their church, handing out diapers and food and clothing, or organizing community events, or ensuring that their pastor is a trained and certified psychologist who can offer many psychological counseling services that are absent of the Word of God, they show that the forgiveness of sins is very, very low on their list of priorities, and certainly not the chief thing. Now, before we move forward, I want to be very careful about this. Do not hear me saying that those things are unimportant. Works of mercy are expected of all of you as God's children. Each one of you is expected within your various vocations as much as you are able and as God puts the situations before you to provide for the sick and the needy, to engage in your community. However, that is not the primary function of Trinity Lutheran Church, nor is it the chief tenet of our faith. Faith and the forgiveness of sins do not proceed from works. It's the other way around. Works proceed from faith. This is shown most clearly by God himself many times over. But consider especially the historical account following the creation of the world when our first parents fell into sin. God did not concern himself first and foremost with the fact that they were in need of clothing, which might give those in Bible study this morning a little bit of a giggle. Instead, he promises them the forgiveness of sins, purchased and won by the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. Only after giving this promise did he concern himself with giving them garments of skin, Genesis 3:21. This is true in our gospel as well. Jesus was first and foremost concerned with forgiving the paralytic his sin, long before he concerned himself with healing his paralysis. In fact, at first, it doesn't seem like he cares about his paralysis at all. And so it is with each of you. God has most assuredly promised you that he will restore your body to how it was meant to be. No more glasses, no more metal knees, no more cancer or genetic disorders, no more sinful inclinations and desires that chafe against the new flesh. That does not come first, as we all know. We look out and see it. Most of us are wearing glasses. There's walkers and wheelchairs among us. But these things do not come first. You will have them, to be sure. But you do not have them yet. First, God offers you the forgiveness of sins, purchased and won by the Christ with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. First, he gives you baptism. First, He gives you preaching and God's word. First, he gives you the body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, all of which are given that you may have the forgiveness of sins. The rest will surely come. But for now, we have these things with which our Lord has first concerned himself, in which he commands you to first be concerned with as well. Now, speaking this way offends many so-called Christians today who follow in the shoes of the unbelieving scribes who scoffed at Christ when he spoke this way. When he said, "I forgive you your sins." Not only does it offend them when the called and ordained servant of Christ speaks that same word of forgiveness to sinners as Christ commanded them to do, but they simply do not want to hear it. They would not care if they could see with their own eyes God himself saying those words to them. Instead, they think it is better to use their dollars, their time, and whatever resources they have to give mittens, milk, and backpacks to whoever will take them, and shoes to some random group of people that they've never met in a place like Ethiopia. Many of them will go so far, in fact, as to underpay their pastor, to force him to have a second job, or even forego having a pastor altogether. Who needs one? We need to give out food and diapers and backpacks. Many of them will buy cheap knockoff utensils from the dollar store for use in the Lord's sacraments, or use nothing at all, but instead hide a cheap plastic cup of grape juice under the seats of those who came to the concert and have everyone commune himself maybe twice a year, because it doesn't really matter. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything. Many will build the cheapest buildings that money can buy. We used to live in shanties and build cathedrals. Now we live in mansions and put up pole barns, if we build anything at all, as if nothing is happening in that place. It's just a building. You may as well plaster Health and Human Services of Mitchell County on the front. By this, they show that they simply do not believe that in that building, God descends to be with his people. By this, they show that they simply do not believe that using even these utensils, the very body and blood of Christ, which was sacrificed on the cross, are being delivered upon their lips for the forgiveness of their sins. By this, they show that they simply do not believe that the called and ordained servant of Christ is not an employee who submits to the will of those who employed him, but is instead sent by God to administer that very gift into the mouths of God's people and to speak only his word, the most precious gift that God has ever given to man, into their hearts, which teaches you about the forgiveness of sins. In the face of this, we Lutherans are not afraid to stand out from popular American Christianity and instead confess that the very reason for Christ establishing his church on earth is to give the forgiveness of sins to sinners like each and every one of us gathered here today. It was not to create some kind of social club where we can affirm each other in our deeds and make sure that everyone has clothing and food. When speaking to Peter about the church, Jesus does not say, "On this rock I build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I give you the ability to clothe everyone and feed everyone and give diapers to single moms." Instead, he says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound." This, dear friends, is the forgiveness of sins. It is the foundation, the rock on which the church is built. And it should be first and foremost in your life as well. In Mark's parallel account of our gospel, these men climbed to the rooftop, ripped the roof off of the building, to lower this man to Jesus. You should be willing to climb to the top of the building and rip the roof off if that's what it takes for you to get in and be where Jesus has promised to grant you the forgiveness of sins. You should fight tooth and nail for it. Nothing is more important than this. That is the example set before us today. Even more than that, we would do well to remember that the man whose sins were forgiven didn't do it on his own. He couldn't if he wanted to. Instead, even his friends were willing to fight tooth and nail to make sure that he was before the Christ. They were willing to give up all that they had that their friend could receive the gifts that Christ so freely gives. This too is an example for us. For it is far too common to hear of someone not going where the forgiveness of sins is offered each and every week because it would be a nuisance to their family members or friends who are staying at their house that weekend, or because they are traveling and getting to their destination 1 hour earlier is far more important than stopping for an hour to receive Christ's gifts, or because they've had such a hard week and need just one more day of sleeping in. Or insert here whatever argument you yourself have used or you know your friends and family have used, and yet you refuse to speak about it. In the same vein, it is far too common to hear of someone just wanting to get along with their mother or their brother or their friend, and so they refuse to rebuke them over their sin and tell them of the one place that they can go to receive the forgiveness of sins. Repent. You and your loved ones need forgiveness more than any one of these things, including a so-called peaceful relationship with each other. And I say so-called here with emphasis, because there can be no peace without Christ. All things that the world and your sinful flesh esteem more than the Word of God will never bring you true peace, ever. True peace is found only in the one who brought you peace with the Father, the one who shed his blood in your place, who paid the ransom for your sins. And that same one comes to you right here in this place, right now, in word and sacrament, week after week after week, to deliver that peace to you personally with the forgiveness of sins. In our gospel today, Jesus proves that this is true, that you may believe it. For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise, take up your bed, and go home? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to that paralytic, rise, take up your bed, and go home. And he did it. He rose before the eyes of many witnesses. It was recorded for your learning, that you would know that Jesus Christ's word does what it says. It has the power to do it. By his word, Christ healed the paralytic in front of many witnesses, just as he healed so many during his earthly life and released so many of demonic affliction before the eyes of many crowds, proving to you that when Jesus says it, he has the power to make it happen. You know that by the word of Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins. And like those who witnessed it and recorded it for your learning, you can marvel and praise God that he has given such power unto men. It is to say that Christ sends his pastors to speak his word, not their word, his word. And the called and ordained servant of Christ says to you, by the command and in the stead of Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. That's Jesus' words. And it does what it says. When the called and ordained servant of Christ says to you, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, that's Christ's word, and it does what it says. Dear friends, I know none of you want to live with paralysis or pain or at odds with loved ones or wondering where your next meal may come from. but none of you will forever. This Jesus, who has power on earth to forgive sins, also has the power to raise you from the dead and usher you into the new heavens and the new earth, where you will live forever without sin, without paralysis, without pain, and certainly without being at odds with those whom you love. Yet, while on this side of heaven, we will experience these things because of the sin in the world and the sin that is in our own flesh. That paralytic had to live with paralysis just a little bit longer in the story, in order that the Son of Man could prove to you that he has power on earth to forgive your sins. He could have taken it away immediately, but he didn't. And so it is with your hardships, for they serve his good as well, and yours. Remember, what God ordains is always good. During this time, in these gray and latter days, Jesus says to you, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven you." And he's going to say it to you again next week. He's going to say it to you again the week after that. Say it again the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. And he'll keep saying it to you until you see him face to face, in your own body, with all of the other things removed as well. God grant that each of you would remain faithful in constantly receiving this forgiveness in these gray and latter days. For it is the most precious and important gift that God has given to you, the forgiveness of sins. God grant that we would always remember this. Not always remember it, but also order ourselves, both as a church and as individuals, in such a way that it would be known that it is the most prominent thing among us. Grant that, Heavenly Father, all for the sake of your Son, unto each of us, your children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.